Welcome to Walking Between the Worlds with Al Mean. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Al Mean.
Heart energies are seldom discussed for the deep esoteric nature that reveals them as part not only of the matrix of existence, but as part of our lives. For man is unique indeed, being the microcosm of the macrocosm. It is within us that they are expressed. It is within the cosmos that they lie as a vast stationary wheel with 12 rings inside one another, forming this vast wheel that keeps open space. Heart energies. Each of the rings has two of these, a positive pole and a negative pole, that pulse one another as all life does when it dynamically grows and lives. The heart energies are part of four wheels, the heart energies being one of these four. There is the wheel of the 12 pairs of emotions, the wheel of the 12 pure states of being, the vast wheel of physical expressions, and the wheel of the heart energies. It is very important for light workers to understand how heart energies work because of an event that has changed all life. For eons, opposite light attracted. For eons, light workers have had opposite energies attracting. And they have experienced the clustering about them of those who had opposite energies, who were deceitful, who were not as they seemed, to the extent that they could hardly see their own light. For like a light that has the moths gathering around it, it was obscured, and they dwelt in loneliness. And it seemed impossible for so long to pull into our lives those that are of like mind and like heart. But in August of 2006, opposite energies began to repel. An opposite light started to attract one another. The ramifications of this is very huge. For if it is understood that while we are now repelling those of opposite energy, suddenly we may be fired by a boss. A husband we thought was true and faithful might reveal his true colors. A wife may walk out on you. But it is so that opposite energies repel. And even if we are stubbornly clinging to those we have loyalties to, it nevertheless might be felt by them, and they might repel us first. However, does that mean that we are now being attracted by those of like mind? Yes, it does. But like mind means like light. And like light now repels. This is how it works. Opposite energies no longer attract. Those of dense energy must go their way out of our lives. It is no longer necessary in compassion to tolerate them. Compassion now works a different way. Opposite energies also will repel. But same light and same frequency now will also repel. For with light and frequency, opposite now attracts. Thus, my brothers and sisters, if you are of great light and you are wanting others of like mind to fill your days and nights, to have a group around you that are truly your light family. It is so that in physicality and in energy, you will be attracting them, for they are of the same energy as and physicality as you, and you will repel those who are of denser energies. But if you are of the same light, that factor will work against you. For it has been designed by the Infinite Mother that created all life, that now opposite light and frequencies will attract. Why have the laws been so decreed? It has been done in this way, so that compassion need no longer be an act of martyrdom. We no longer have to stay in dark places, live a part of someone else's life that does not make our hearts sing. For, in fact, it will only repel them. Instead, what is now the way of compassion is that we find those of like energies, those of like matter and physicality, and we live our highest truth, joyously embracing all the beautiful qualities of physical expression, of the heart energies, of the frequencies, joy, passion, fun, laughter, all the beautiful frequencies that make up the 96 pure frequencies of the cosmos, the 96 tones in the music of the spheres, in the voice of the Mother. As we do this, if we express joyously having finally found others that are like us, what happens is that that frequency of joy immediately and automatically goes to where it is the most needed. It goes to the darkest places on earth, where there is joylessness. And that is where it makes life better. It is our duty to be with those who contribute to our life. For it is only then that we can express fully the purity of frequencies, and the strength of it will be enhanced by those of like energy and mind. And that will contribute to the overall growth of all life by gravitating to that which does not have such pure frequencies. But now you can ask, is it not so that if we all have great light, even though our energies and our physicality is the same, that we will in fact repel one another? If the same light repels and opposite light now attracts? Well, yes, we could, except that Mother in her infinite wisdom had already foreseen that that could be the case. And so she has said that heart energies will always be the strongest. Thus, if we live these 12 pairs of pure heart energies that we shall be discussing, we will be attracting those of like energies. Of all four of these wheels that contain these rings and pairs of frequencies, heart energies have been decreed in the Book of Life, in which the Mother writes the highest wisdom of existence, that form the very laws and nature of our realities. heart energies will predominate. She has done this for another reason. For somebody could yet have an opened heart, but have distortion in their thinking. And when that is the case, such one will be very attractive to a light worker, for they will have the same energies in the hearts, but they will have opposite energies in light, which, as we can see, also attracts. Thus, Mother has decreed that the heart energy will reveal any distortion of mind. If you are with someone and even though they feel as though they embody the opened heart, but there is a nauseating feeling in the body, a feeling of shrinking in the physical itself, it is because even though their hearts are opened, their minds are distorted. We shall see exactly what these pairs of heart energies are, that we may embrace them fully in our life, that we might draw in with all the strength of our beings a support system of others that have similar beautiful qualities in their hearts.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almine's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Almine. To learn more about Almine and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
But let us look now at what the heart energy pairs are. Heart energies are birthed by a masculine aspect and a feminine aspect pulsing each other in an ongoing interaction. The deeper or stronger the aspect pulses, the deeper the other responds, and the stronger the heart energy that is born. The first pair of heart energies is an anomaly in that they are similar to a pair found on the wheel of states of being. In that instance, on the states of being, the positive pole, which is the sixth wheel out in this vast wheel, the sixth ring in the vast wheel, is embrace and ecstasy. The first pair of heart energies, which means the very innermost ring, also is ecstasy and embrace. But in the states of being, embrace is a positive pole and ecstasy a negative pole. In the instance of the heart energies, ecstasy is a positive pole, and embrace is a negative pole. And together, as they pulse, they form divine compassion. Ecstasy, as a positive factor, is active. It is the broadcasting, or reaching out, of the ecstatic song of the heart. wherever it reaches, the heart embraces. The heart includes in its compassionate embrace. Divine compassion can therefore be described as the ecstatic embrace of the heart. My brothers and sisters, beautiful listeners that are my light family, it is not only in the large things in life that we find our ecstasy, where we see the perfection of the infinite's face. It is in the small things. It is in the joyous performance of the most mundane task. When everything is done from the heart, with an ecstatic embrace of life, there is no mundane task. There is only life giving unto itself. The waiter serving a cup of coffee, the janitor mopping up a spill, is life giving unto itself. The ecstatic embrace starts with what is in front of you. And as you embrace it, life shyly unveils itself, revealing its face more and more, causing ever-deepening rings of ecstasy and embrace. But these heart energies are, in fact, frequencies, as the other wheels are as well. With frequency, same frequencies as with light, push each other away. If one of us fully and ecstatically embrace life with a song coming forth from our heart, and no one has ever felt such depth of it before, we shall enlarge the wheel, which is the first wheel of ecstasy and embrace, and as a result, every other wheel likewise has to enlarge, for they push each other to maintain the equidistance that they need. As we do this, we have fulfilled our highest calling, for Mother has declared that we are to become co-creators of life. And so we have now enlarged the cosmos, for the cosmos is held open by these frequency bands, each of them a pair of heart energies. The second one, the second ring within the wheel of heart energies, is insight and appreciation. Insight is the positive aspect, and it probes behind the illusion of appearances. True illusion, as the unsolved portions of existence, no longer exists. All has been solved. But the illusion of taking things at face value does. It's not real illusion, but it is a blindness that stares at form and thinks it to be real. Finding the perfection of underlying that underlies all life is the insight. Insight refuses to take life at face value. It finds the divine within. The response of the heart to seeing the divine order behind illusion is one of honoring and appreciating life. From this vantage point, life is lived with reverence for all life, refining the person living this way and hallowing his experience. Be vocal in expressing the appreciation to others. Let them have the gift that you have truly with insight seen them, seen the extra time they took with a task, seen the beauty of them. The third wheel, the third ring on the wheel is inspiration and love. Inspiration and love together creates life, and it can be said to equate to pure creativity, the same way that insight and appreciation is a reverential way of living. It creates reverence. Inspiration and love, the third ring, is pure creativity. Inspiration is a positive quality, actively seeking out that which uplifts and inspires in what it observes. What uplifts and presents us with inspiration, in turn, evokes a deep love in our hearts. It creates a desire for us to be in its presence. The combination of the inspiration plus the love we feel for that which inspires brings forth the desire to create through the heart, the place of pure creation. Beloved ones, love is found as an emotion. Love is that which is an emotion desires to include. Love is in this instance found in a slightly different way. To understand it better, I wish to read a most beautiful piece out of the Bible, and it comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It speaks of seeing that in life which inspires, of seeing with reverence the value of every creation. If we have these qualities, insight, appreciation, inspiration, and love, we do not need another to teach us good manners, etiquette, consideration. They are automatic, for we have seen the divine within form. In 1 Corinthians 13, I read, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." And I wish you to understand that the word charity here is that which describes the way love is felt in the face of that which inspires. "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away." Beloved ones, charity lasts because it connects with that which is real, which is indwelling life.
Yeah. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Almeen. To learn more about Almeen and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
The fourth ring of the heart energies, to be lived and expressed by us in our life, is truth as the positive pole and clarity as the negative pole, creating together the combined quality of absolute truth. Beloved ones, when we take a look at what truth is it just the speaking of that which is true and accurate and necessary and kind? Or is it in living in a way with ourselves that every little constriction in the flow of universal energy through us is cleared up? Shakespeare said, "To thine own self be true, and it must needs follow as night the day, that thou canst not be false to another." Absolute truth begins with ourselves. When truth, as we see it, is lived at its highest level, we start to express and live from a situation of clarity, where we are as true, not only to others, but to ourselves. In clarity and truth, we become aware of our motives' origins. Toltec mysteries call this stalking ourselves. As we eliminate the four emotions that in August of 2006 became unreal, in that their real part was removed, and their tones that were discordant in the cosmos repaired and replaced. As we eliminate fear, protectiveness, anger, and pain as motives, the reasons for taking action or making choices become the clear and guiding promptings of our heart. Where the pure guidance of our heart comes from is from the blueprint of the infinite, that which the Mother Goddess is, which is absolute truth. Truth speaks that which is true. Absolute truth, instead, has nothing to hide. Many seek the meaning of their lives. But as each one of us every day learns a new way to express that which is the Infinite Mother and her purity, and these exquisite emotions of our heart, the cosmos changes. The meaning of our lives change with it. Upon our every action, this pivots. Beloved ones, we cannot hope to see the meaning as it changes moment by moment, evolving into something more grand and glorious, depending on the diligence of every creature in understanding new ways of expressing the beauty of the Mother. But nor can we ask others for understanding, for we cannot hope to be understood if we are as vast as the cosmos, a consciousness that spans all of existence. Thus, seek not for meaning. It is too vast to comprehend, and it changes moment by moment. Truth is sought by a student. A master brings truth spontaneously to every moment. For the master creates truth anew. As the master delves into the deep mysteries of his or her being, seeking ever more clarity. Beloved ones, live from the heart, and you shall create truth. Seek not for the meaning that eludes you eternally, but seek instead for the clarity which reveals but your next step. Together, these form absolute truth. And the fifth ring on this wheel, as vast as the cosmos, of heart energies, is manifestation and gratitude. Together, they create impeccability. Manifestation is the positive pole. And as it pulses with gratitude, impeccability results. The loss of impeccability is the result of failing to see the support of the greater scheme of our lives, of not recognizing that we are never alone. We are supported by all of the interconnectedness of life. It is in thinking that we have to find for ourselves, that we have to fend for ourselves, that we have to fight for what we want, that we act in a way that does not enhance the interconnectedness of life. It is then that karma is created for every life that exists. Is like a thread of light in a vast and glorious spider web of existence. And when we warp the web, a price must be paid. It is in thinking that we have to take care of ourselves that we begin to act insensitively towards other life forms. In allowing life's perfection to manifest in our lives in whatever way it wants to, and knowing with gratitude that we are sustained at all times, that impeccability is born. The gratitude comes when we see the divine perfection, and that which we are grateful for increases 100-fold. One of the great laws of increase is gratitude. The sixth ring in the wheel is that of rejoicing and praise, which is celebration. As gratitude is, praise also is one of the three ascension attitudes, love, praise, and gratitude. But as an attitude, they are slightly different. They have a mental perceptual component that as a heart energy is not there. Beloved ones, structurally, that which is an attitude, if you were to dissect it, it would resemble a wobbly cross. If you were to look and dissect at gratitude and praise as a heart energy, it would only be one single wobbly line. The reason is that as a heart energy, it is a frequency. An attitude combines a frequency with light. They are carrier waves for one another. A frequency and a light form combined as carrier waves create attitude. If we look at rejoicing, it is a choice. It chooses to find that which is praiseworthy over that which is not. If one looks for that which is flawed, it is easy to find. Looking for that which is perfection underlying the appearances, that which we can rejoice in, might take more work. Perfection has, after all, always hidden its face behind the apparent. It is in the lovely and fun little movie of Pollyanna, where the script has her say that her father was a preacher, and that he used to say that if one looks for the worst in your fellow man, you will almost always find it. That it was far more of a gift to be able to find the good. But in looking for that which is praiseworthy, in which we can rejoice, our life changes day by day from drudgery and transforms itself into one of celebration. The seventh ring of harmony and wisdom creates timing. Harmony is in this instance a positive pole and wisdom a negative pole. And when they pulse each other in divine perfection, in ever deepening pulsations, timing is the byproduct.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almaine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almaine's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Almaine. To learn more about Almaine and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
There is a flow to life, subtle currents that determine the course of events. There is a time to act and a time to reflect. time for output and a time for input. Our lives unfold with grace and in perfect timing when we have the wisdom to stay in harmony with the soft whisperings of the currents of life. To have the wisdom to obey these inner whisperings takes restraint. To hear them takes the silence of the mind of one who has ceased to oppose life. Beloved ones, a planned future is a closed future. Closed to the highest potential that Mother has decreed will be brought in by her children in far heightened degrees. All of potential lies before us like a blank canvas. What will we make of it? Let our lives be lived with great awareness, with harmony to that which is occurring and flowing through our life. For it is in ceasing to oppose that we live in the moment. And it is in the moment where all true potential is found. A planned future is a closed future. Do not attempt to go to the future, to anticipate it. Let the future come to you. The way the blue heron awaits his attacker, the bald eagle, his mortal enemy. For it has been observed by naturalists that he plants his feet firmly and with beak towards the descending eagle that plummets with ferocious speed to catch the blue heron, that the eagle at times has impaled himself upon the blue heron's beak. In quietness and in confidence shall be our strength. The harmony and the wisdom lies in the moment. It is there where our poise is found. Fulfillment and present. Fulfillment and presence. Fulfillment and presence create focus, and they are the eighth ring in the wheel of the heart energies. Toltec seers have given the sage advice to use death as an advisor, to live each moment as though it were our last, with the focus it deserves. The moment is the pivot point upon which all of life pivots. It is therefore that which holds life's potential. As such, it deserves our full presence so that it can yield its full potential. In other words, that moment can fulfill its promises of a new tomorrow, unfettered by yesterday's expectations. If tomorrow comes from the moment, but the moment is not lived in a fulfilling manner, with full presence and focus, where will the future come from? It will instead be formed by our yesterday, haphazardly and as a repeat of what went before. The ninth ring is growth and balance, which creates strength. Growth that is unsupported lacks strength. Growth is always tested, for gained knowledge has to become experiential knowledge to be truly useful. Without balance to bolster it, it will lack the strength to pass the testing of experience. Growth internally produces external change. If change is not balanced with rest, or our coming home to ourselves, we will have wings but no roots. It is the dynamic pulsing between wings and roots that gives us our strength. tenth ring is evolution and surrender. And together they form grace. Grace is the enviable result of the ability of living with full cooperation with life. The surrender and trust of allowing life to evolve at its own pace and in its own way brings to our lives the grace of mastery. It does not only require that we allow life to flow through us, but that we learn from it as it does, evolving through the insights that it bestows moment by moment. The 11th wheel, the 11th ring within the wheel, is discovery and awareness. Discovery is the positive pole. Awareness is a negative pole. Together they produce deeper clarity. We have examined clarity in heart energy ring number 4 as the complete honesty with ourselves that requires a transparency of motives. Clarity as an end result can be described as the certainty of what our next step is. The journey of existence becomes a journey of discovery when lived with the utmost awareness, an awareness born of the humility to know that only a fool can assume to know what the next moment will be. A life of clarity is not outcome-oriented. It only knows that through living in the fullest awareness, the discovery of the next step will be achieved by living this one well. And thus a journey of clarity unfolds, one step at a time. The 12th and final ring of the vast bands of compassion that span not only the cosmos, but the fields around the human body, is acceptance as the positive pole and allowing as the negative pole. This, jointly as they pulse, creates harmlessness. Injury to life comes when we step out of contracts, when we fight and resist life's circumstances, keeping others and ourselves from growing. We often want life to change, but refuse to accept that we have to change ourselves. It is when we accept the moment for what it is, but allow change to come where it is needed by changing ourselves, that we fulfill life's contracts. Only then does life become empowered, rather than one of victimhood. When we feel life is out of control, we try to control its unfolding, causing harm to the interconnected web of life. By accepting our part of directing the play, but also the script to unfold, life is lived harmlessly. To my dearest light family that are listening to me, may so many blessings be yours, and may the path in instantaneous and spontaneous creation unfold before you with glory and majesty.
We hope you have enjoyed today's show, Walking Between the Worlds with Al Mean.